welcome to Bobcat Radio, an hour of Texas State news and sports. I am your host, Andrew Zimmel, joined by Olivia Cheney and the heel of the bread, Brendan Snow. But also, we have a very special guest today. The first addition to the Wednesday show and the last addition this semester, Riley Chestnut.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
How does it feel to be on the show, Riley?
It feels pretty good. Class keeps me away from this a lot more now, so I'm happy to be on.
I'm going to fill you in on a little bit of secret, Riley.
Oh, boy.
This is the best Bobcat Radio of the week, and this is the last Bobcat Radio of the semester. So if you want to get your calls in, call in at 512-245-3473 or tweet at us on the Twitter at KTSW Sports. That's at KTSW Sports. I make sure our producer, Brendan Snow, rides that Twitter account looking for people's questions. We got a couple of this semester. I really enjoy hearing from you guys. Like I said before, this is the last show before the break. So to start the show, I want to thank everybody for making this show so great this semester, and thank you for listening. And to keep up listening to the podcast that's already out, we put the Ryan the Pine podcast out yesterday. It's on the KTSW blog and the Texas State Student Media SoundCloud account. So if you want to listen to your sports, you want to get, you know, keep it in your veins during Christmas time when Grandpa and Dad are arguing about who was the better pitcher in the 1960 season, there you go. You got a little bit of sports to talk about.
Yeah, I got it really kind of sad already last show. I feel like we're just kind of getting to a groove of things coming in here weekly. Our nice little Wednesday routine we have, we get up, we leave at 9:06 every day. That's the exact time we leave, 9:06, and we perfectly catch the bus every time. It's been a nice routine we have.
Sometimes we get to catch the bus, and, you know, it's nice and warm because it's Texas. Other days, like today, chilled to the bone. Had our umbrella turned inside out on us on a couple times. We got a whole lot of Texas State news and sports to talk about today. Yesterday, the women's basketball team came out and
killed.
It was almost an annihilation of the UTSA Roadrunners. I don't even know if we can call them that anymore. They just stole everything from them.
Mm-hmm.
But before we jump into that and then the men's game tonight against McMurray, and then, of course, talking a little bit about what's happening over the break, just to keep everybody that's in the San Marcos region kind of up to date on what's happening, I want to jump into this. It's almost Christmas time, guys, right? And I know you guys are looking for gifts to give me. I know Brendan and Olivia are, at least.
Oh, man.
Also, the holiday season's just around the corner. White Elephant Party, Secret Santa's just around the corner. So these are some ideas to be thinking about. I came up with a list of things. I know Brendan and Olivia did too. A list of kind of sports-related gifts to kind of give. So I'm going to start, and then we'll give it to you guys, give you some ideas, right? Okay. We'll start with my favorite one right now, potty basketball. You can sit down and shoot some hoops, right? While doing your business. It's perfect for any person who forgets their phone going to the bathroom. You just set up the hoop on the door, and you practice your Steph Curry range. I'm just saying, that's a really solid white elephant gift. And then the team pacifier, right? You say you have a little bobcat running around the cave. Well, these sports-themed pacifiers are for you. Made for babies and UTSA fans, these pacifiers will give the child the same team allegiance as you. Riley, you're really loving these.
Yeah, that one was pretty good.
And then the last one is, of course, the Team Collage shirts, where you can buy these online. I see them all the time. It's for, you know, this fan that loves to see your favorite player's face all over his body. So it's just like a bunch of pictures of the same person. I know that Brendan wants to get one with my face on it. I don't know how that's going to work, but they're pretty solid ideas.
Yeah, and they said all those solid ideas. I have one that... It's timeless. It'll work for anybody,
mm-hmm.
any age. I don't care who you are. You could act like you don't like it. You're going to use it.
Mm.
A sports-themed crossword puzzle or a word search. Either one.
That was right at the top of my list. I was thinking the exact same thing, Brendan.
Exactly. I don't care how old you are. You see, you're chilling, doing nothing. You look over, you see a word search puzzle? I'm going to start trying to go find, you know, Aaron Rodgers' name in this little word search over here.
Mm. Sounds like a dentist office.
Yeah.
Are you ever bored in a dentist office? No, because they have word searches.
Definitely. I'm gonna say, you know, I think you guys remember Fatheads, right?
Mm.
Fatheads.
Yeah.
How do they make those?
I have no clue. It's like a sticker that sticks on the wall.
I know, and it's a big head of some athlete or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
And you remember, you mentioned faces and wearing your athletes. Put it on the wall. Maybe the ceiling when you go to sleep at night. You can look up and see your favorite player.
You'll see Mike Trout comforting you as you slip off into eternal slumber. Or, you know, the warm head of Elvis Andrews or Adrian Beltre.
Very good idea. So now you guys know what to get me for White Elephants. I know what to kind of give you guys for White Elephants.
You don't, we should have done one of those in the apartment.
That's not a bad idea. Well, too late now. So I want to move on to some more news going around. This is on the, it should be on the national scale. Texas State women's basketball team last night came out, and I want to give you a statistic that I found really interesting after that game kind of concluded. It tied the largest win by the Bobcats over the Roadrunners with a 53-point victory last night, and the victory came 1 point shy of tying the largest victory in Texas State women's basketball history. That win, of course, came in 2007, 111-57 over Houston Tillerson. So it was a 53-point victory last night for the Texas State Bobcats. We're going to dive really deep into this, and we're going to break down all the statistics. I know Riley was there at that game.
That was pretty cool.
Pretty much, he's our Texas State basketball beat reporter. He's really the only person who I can go to and turn to kind of give me the ins and outs of both the women's team and the men's team.
Appreciate that, dog.
Exactly. So having him in the studio today, Riley Chestnut, like I said before, we're going to dive into it really deep. But I really wanted to jump into Brooke Holly. And we talked about this on social media a little bit yesterday after the game, and we've kind of been kind of hinting to it the last 2 years. I really didn't know what Brooke Holly brought, right? And I will be the first to admit there might have been some Holly slander coming out of my mouth.
Ooh.
When talking about kind of the bench production last year with both her and her sister. Last night, all of that erased. Huge game for Brooke Holly.
Huge.
Arguably, you know, this entire team, we had Tasha Levitt come out and have a career night a couple nights ago. Taylor Deer had a 44-point night.
The first night
first
of the
night,
game.
Really
first
set
first game of the season against Tech.
Set the bar very high for this women's team. We talked about, you know, last week, the roller coaster derby, or the roller race derby that is a Texas State women's basketball season, how I was personally worried that they were coming out really hot, and I don't know if they were going to keep that up. I saw this UTSA game. I circled it on my calendar. I said, this is going to be the game that we really find out how good this Texas State women's team is. Because I know UTSA basketball program isn't the best in the state, but it's a rivalry game, and you come up and you show up for rivalry games. Riley, I'm going to ask you, did UTSA show up for that rivalry game last night against the Texas State Bobcats?
I'd say through the first 5-6 minutes they did, but then you could really tell after the first quarter that the Bobcats were giving the Roadrunners a taste of what their nickname would imply. They were running them around ragged off the court because it was transition, transition, transition. Erica May at one point in the fourth quarter was out running most of UTSA. It was pretty fantastic to see the Bobcats do what they wanted to do, which is get out quickly, transition to the very best of their ability, and pull up and shoot threes. And they had one of the best nights I've ever seen where Brooke Holly was doing most of the scoring. She scored like the first 9 points for Texas State, and it was like 2 threes on them. And then second half, it was Shania Wright, the freshman, going and delivering the goods, as both of them, Brooke and Shania, combined to make 9 of their 13 threes. So they were carrying the load last night.
I don't know if I mentioned this before, 91-38 was the final score of that game, 53-point victory for the Bobcats.
Yeah, just talking about how nice it is the difference between the men's and women's team. With the women's team, you don't have to rely on one person. It seems like anyone can go off any given night.
Oh.
Like, we've now seen Brooke Holly do it, Tasha Levitt, Taylor Deer, Erica May can have those nights. Tierra Pitts adds a lot for you. Unlike on the men's side, where it's like, you know, we go as far as Nigel Pearson goes, and then and if someone else steps up with a big game,
it's a surprise.
Yeah, it's a surprise. It's a real turning point because you don't get that very often. With the women's team, not as predictable. They get a lot of help, and I think that can help them go further than the men's team.
It's been fantastic. I mean, the start for the women this season has really shown just how far they've been motivated by how last season so bitterly ended. They want to come out. They want to stomp on each team they play's throats. And really, you'd look at the teams they played and lost to, being TCU, of which that was the only game they really never had anything through it, and even against Houston, where their shot just wasn't falling and the Bobcats still only lost by 5, it really shows you how far this team has come and how much higher they can go. Because what was crazy to me in the post-game conference after last night's game, it set Coach Z said this team, while this was a great game, they haven't arrived yet. And that's really scary.
We're going to dive into this and much more after the break, but before we go, Bobcat Radio is sponsored by the University Bookstore, located on the second floor of LBJ Student Center. University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. More information at bookstore.txstate.edu or 245-2273. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
Hey, check out my new pet.
Geez, it's a bat.
Yeah, isn't it cute? It's like I'm Batman.
You shouldn't be touching bats. The CDC says humans can catch diseases like rabies and histoplasmolysis from bats. Or worse, you can injure and kill a bat just by touching it.
Oh, not the vase. I don't think Batman has to put up with this.
Unless you're a professional, stay away from the bats around campus. Our planet, our responsibility. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
And now for my greatest creation, Big Picture Science, the coolest science show in all of radio. A pinch of humor, 10 tons of scientific research, and 8 liters of tech news. Then hook it up to this radio transmitter and... it's live! It's live! Big Picture Science is live, Wednesdays at 7 a.m. on KTSW 89.9. All the world shall tune in and learn science!
Welcome back. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9. If you're just tuning in, I need to introduce our very special guest in the studio today, our Texas State beat writer, Riley Chestnut. He does a lot of really good work with KTSW, with the sports department. You've probably listened to him on, listened to his raps a lot for the sports updates.
Really, I do drop some pretty sick rhymes.
Very, very good job. 91-38, the Texas State women's basketball team ends up winning last night. Beating the rival UTSA Roadrunners. It's, you know, they got us in men's football. They got us in football, you know.
They stole one in men's basketball.
So
this felt really good.
Yeah, I'm not going to draw an equivalent, but it was. It did feel really good. I came into work this morning watching a lot of, you know, highlight videos from that game. You know, it's, to me, it's telling when the athletic department's able to make a highlight video late in the night, because that game didn't get done till kind of later.
Yeah.
You know, so they stayed extra, you know, put the time in, got the videos put together, put them on Twitter.
They wanted to show how badly this game was for UTSA.
Yes. And we talk about Brooke Holly, who had, you know, a very stellar game, came out and played very well. Tasha Levitt, I've been, you know, hyping her up all season. Olivia, you and I were sitting in the studio today, and we watched some of her highlight tapes. Spin move. Took a UTSA player out of her shoes.
I watched the highlight at least 4 times. It was a sick move. That's skill right there. Definitely.
I mean, you saw that play develop. She had to do what she had to do because she was about to go head-on and collide in transition because that ball was getting a little too far ahead of her. So she just naturally did the fight-or-flight technique, and she flew right around it. Passed off to Z-Lor, who then found Tierra Pitts open on the wing for another 3 that just went down sweeter than sunshine.
All right, let's break this down a little bit more. Brooke Holly starts the game, played at a completely different level than I'd seen her play in the last 2 seasons that she's played here, scoring the first 9 points for the Bobcats and scoring 14 of the first 18 for Texas State in the first quarter. The Bobcats set the net on fire. I don't know if you guys have ever played NBA Jam, but you know how when things start moving, things start heating up.
Everything just goes down.
Everything starts going down. That's how it was. You could see the net caught on fire, and it was something to behold. 15 of 30 from behind the arc. Now, I saw a neat little stat, Riley, and you're pretty good at math. 15 of 30, if you only count those points, how many points is that?
Times 3, 45.
So 45 to 38 would have been
entirely too slow.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, guys.
45. This is the point I'm trying to make, guys. 45 to 38 would still give you
a
victory for the Texas State Bobcats.
If they just shot and made all their threes.
Exactly.
Yeah, and for most of the night, it seemed like all they were doing was pulling up for threes. I mean, a few of those looks were questionable, and that's still what kind of concerns me about this team is
heat
their
check.
Post play. Yeah, heat check. I still think their post-play offensively needs to develop. I mean, that's the one stat UTSA did have them beat last night, whereas, well, coming into the game was blocks per game, so maybe the game plan was they knew if they tried to go down low, it wasn't going to be a fair fight in their favor, so they did what they did best, and that was shoot away. But you still want to see a little bit more from them in every other game in between, like the mid-range game, which Taylor Deer in that fourth quarter had a few nice step-backs in front of one of the... This UTSA player wasn't even listed on the roster. That's what makes me a little bit upset, because I was tracking down stats for that game on, like, the promo. But you take a look at how it went in the first quarter, there wasn't that much of a difference between UTSA and Texas State. Both teams shot 20 times, and Texas State only made 7 of those tries, so you really thought, okay, both teams are coming out well, but then you really notice the difference in every quarter afterwards, because I don't exactly remember the finals. Oh, never mind, I don't have to. From the second quarter on, UTSA had 8, 16, 7, what is that, 23 total points, whereas the Bobcats went off for 24 in the second, 30 in the third, and then 19 in the fourth quarter. Quite simply put, UTSA just got tired, and Texas State took advantage.
So you kind of read my mind, Riley, talking about the three-point shots, and, you know, you're moving my show along a little quickly, but we'll go into this because I want to dive deeper in this.
Mm.
You talked about the post play. I'm always trying to be the contrarian on this show, trying to, you know, give a little bit of an idea. You said you're a little worried.
Yes.
It's a three-point shooting. Brendan, I don't know how you feel about this. I kind of have the idea if the shots don't go down, what happens? Well, you know?
This team is a live or die by the three-point shot kind of team. That's what they are.
And last night was good. They moved the ball around well, so these were great looks they were getting.
So, but for every great game like this one where you scored 93 points, you shoot 15 of 30, 500 from or 50% from behind the arc is not something that's going to happen every single game.
No.
For every great game like this, you're going to have a game where you shoot 20% from behind the arc. How is this team going to be able to win those games?
Well, the only look we've had where they did do that was Houston, and you saw how that game ended. Really, all it came down to was Tasha Levin in that game had a 3-for-17 performance, which is unnatural for her, being the shooter that she is. Unfortunately, that's one area I'm still concerned with, is the fact that most games Tasha's going up against a guard that is a little more physical or just bigger. So if they can get Tasha out of her comfort zone, that forces Taylor Deer to be the only option to go in and drive. And if they know exactly who's driving for Texas State, then it's going to be a tough time for them to get anything going. But if they can do what they do best, which is get quick steals, get in transition, wear the teams down like they did last night, then really you don't feel too worried about the fact that they can execute those parts of the game plan, because everything else will just fall naturally.
Yeah, and if you have a game where your three-point shots aren't falling like that, you got to turn to, you know, the senior leaders of the team for them to come through and know what to do. Taylor Deer, Tierra Pitts, and Erica May all know, you know, what needs to be done. All three of those players, they're not necessarily known as three-point shooters on the team because they can score in other ways. And
Tierra's got a pretty sweet stroke, though, last night. Oh.
I'm saying she can shoot, but she knows she doesn't have to rely on her shot.
No.
Unlike Tasha Levitt, who, you know, 70% of her shots are three-point attempts.
Yeah.
You have those other players who can do other things and just shoot. Granted, it might not be enough to, you know, put you up 91 points like that, but when it's mixed in perfectly like that, it's what makes them so hard to beat.
Yeah, and it's an after effect. I mean, last year, Texas State played with three forwards in their starting lineup. This year, they're going for three guards. They knew this is what they wanted to do. They knew they wanted to get out and get quicker. They wanted to unlock their ability to shoot the ball and to recruit players like Shania Wright, who came in highly regarded as a shooter. You have Brooke Hawley now getting starts.
I wanted to jump at this. You said Shania Wright. I have this in my game notes, kind of for Brendan, but you're here now, so I can ask you, who is Shania Wright?
Shania Wright.
Break down. Give us a little background on Shania Wright.
Well, Shania Wright, that's a pretty good question. She, again, they don't talk about each player individually that much just because that's the team culture. Coach Z loves to talk about them in the collective as opposed to the individual. But everything that came apart was in the post-game conference last night. They brought up a time where one of the teams left out their scouting report on Shania Wright, and all it said was streaky shooter. And they took offense to that.
I would, too.
Yeah, because Coach Z knows exactly what kind of shooter Shania Wright is. She's always been a great shooter. And to have a game like she did last night only confirmed exactly what Coach Z went out and recruited last year, because at times, the offense is, we can agree, it's far better than it was last year for Texas State on both sides. Even men's basketball, it's a little bit better. But now that the women have the experience that comes with having most of your seniors in the starting lineup, other than Brooke Hawley and Tasha Levitt, who is a junior and a sophomore, you get that experience that can bring that key defensive grind down low, because Tierra Pitts had like 3 blocks on UTSA last night. It was great. But you don't want to give any discredit to the freshman right now. Shania Wright's earning her minutes, and she's only going to get more minutes if she keeps putting up performances like this where they leave her open on the wing. But Coach C put it best, now teams are going to be scouting them, and they know exactly what this team's going to be able to do because it's early. They haven't seen these teams yet. But now they're going to get an idea of what Texas State is about, and I think that is going to be where we truly see the value and how this team can come together.
Interested, you said their scouting report had her just listed as a streaky shooter. You go and look at her history, and when she went to high school, DeSoto High School, where she was a 3-star prospect, she hit 2 or more threes in 120 of her 130 career games.
Man, you must have really worked to find that stat.
I might not have put streaky shooter in my scouting report if it's a lock for someone to knock down at least 2 threes on me. Yeah, she's big time DeSoto, 3-star prospect. Like I said, that's probably why they had so much a little bit of hype coming into the season, bringing her in as a shooter off the bench. And it seems like she could fill that role pretty well, because that's something Texas State could use, that big score off the bench. You know, you have Deer and Levitt in that first unit.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the player off the bench, I believe it was Caitlin Walla.
Yeah.
She's not here anymore, so you got to have someone else.
No,
make that
Walla
step
Walla,
up.
She gone.
So, and this is what I was getting at. There was kind of a high, it was a two-part question, right? Who should I write? Part of it was because we didn't see a whole lot of her so far this season.
Yeah.
Second part of this question is she going to be around for the playoffs? Because I am, of course, I'm pretty sure everybody knows this, I think the regular season's a fluke. I don't really care what you do in the first half of the Sun Belt Conference play. The second half of conference play, I pay attention a little bit more attention. And then the playoffs is what really, you know, sparks my interest.
And I think you're fair to think that, because last year Texas State was running roughshod through the first half, and then they kind of fell apart at the end.
Exactly. So I like this idea. Last year we saw the bench really tighten up. We had about a 7-man rotation, which was dangerous. I said it was dangerous. I think everybody in the area
had a really limited bench, for sure.
Very limited the bench last year. This year I feel like the rotation kind of expands a little bit. You have a couple players on the bench now, right? Holly's now in the starting lineup, but you have both of the Holly sisters kind of flexing their muscles a little bit, you know, with their kind of offensive prowess. I like where this is going. I'm a big fan. I know, Riley, you're a San Antonio Spurs fan.
Ooh.
Kawhi's
going to be back this week.
Exactly. That's kind of off track. But what I'm saying is, you and I, people like us, we love to see bench players. We love role players.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're role players. Like, we love this.
We know the difference between a great team is everyone accepts their role and they fulfill it to the best of their ability.
Exactly. And I think that's what this team is doing, where you have Shania Wright. I'm surprised it's not like Beetlejuice. I'm surprised she didn't pop up, said her name so often on this show. But, yeah, I like where this team's going. I like the role players that they have. I like how it's an upswing right now. I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. I don't want to say that every game is going to be a 53-point win.
No.
But
it gives you confidence that, because, again, they said this team hasn't even arrived yet. And if this isn't them arriving, I cannot wait to see what this team can do.
Well, if you have this Texas State women's team playing this well, they can compete with anybody, not in the state, but in the nation, too.
Yeah.
And none of UConn's still around. It's a different story. But no, how big is it? Talking about you get this big 53-point win. Then you get 12 days off. You don't play again until December 17th when you go to Sam Houston State.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, it was really
you
big.
You kind of get to go out on a high note and, you know, some confidence going into practices and stuff like that. Then comes up the whole rust versus rest debate. But I'm seeing the good sides.
And you're exactly right, because this is the last home game of this year for Texas State. They won't be back until January 4th. And they'll be having started conference play at that point. So for them to get this win in their final home game of the year, and their final non-conference home game against a rival, you can take this 53-point score, and if it's a rival, double it. That's how it feels. And that's exactly the kind of confidence that this team will need, because part of the rap I used, I don't want to give too much away, is the fact that Coach Z loves that these players go in, even if they're not required to, go into the gym, go work on their shot. You don't have to ask them to go and do this stuff. They know. They want it. They're obsessed with getting better. And it's really starting to show.
Andrew, I'm going to go off of what you said earlier not too long ago about you liking what you're seeing from what the team is giving you, but not to hype it up too much. Because I'm liking what I'm seeing from Shania Wright, scoring 16 points as a freshman. Also, Brooke Holly scoring that game high last night.
I really think Brooke's her effect in the starting lineup has been Tasha and Taylor Deer don't have to carry so much of the load, and it's really helping. So to have another guard that can be a dependable third option, like you say, for Brooke Holly, it's really showing in the way this team can score now.
But my question is Texas State just that good, or the team that they're playing just having off nights, or that bad?
I don't know, because this, like I said, top of the show, we talked about this being a rivalry game. I like to think that you show up for rivalry games, you bring your best. So I'm kind of, I guess I am kind of a prisoner of the moment. I do think that UTSA came out and played very well last night. As well as they could. That's kind of how I am right now. Do you not like some of the wins that this team's had?
No, I do, but I mean, I just still think it's a little bit early.
You're right.
But I do like how we mentioned it's not always them having to rely on one player. Each player, this game it was Brooke Holly. Last game it was Tasha Leavitt. Game before it was Taylor Deere. So everybody's kind of being that leader each game, so they're not having to rely on one specific person to provide all the points. So I do like, but I'm just still iffy because, I mean, seeing a game
well,
like this.
This is a two-loss team. This team's only lost to TCU and Houston so far on this year. I hear what you're saying, but I mean, you don't really have a whole lot of facts to back up that these teams that they're beating aren't, up to snuff. They're playing who they play. You know what I mean? It's not like they.
And this
is
the most difficult schedule Coach Z has ever put against them. They're playing all D1 schools. So if they come away with 18 wins this year, they're going to say, nope, they earned those 18 wins because they played the same level of competition night in and night out. Whereas men's basketball, they're playing a D3 school tonight in McMurray.
We're going to jump into that after the break a little bit.
But will that stronger non-conference schedule, will the committee put them in the playoffs? What does that do for you?
I like what Brendan's saying, though, because if you do, say potentially you did beat a TCU and a Houston, and those two teams end up competing in their respected conference playoffs, well, then at that point you say, this potentially could have been an 8-0 team. Then you look at some of the other teams they play Sam Houston State. That potentially could be a pretty good win. They go on a little bit of a tournament. Then they go into Sun Belt Conference play. If you go into conference play and you only have two or three losses and you end up being, say, at worst, a 6-loss team going into the Sun Belt Conference tournament, then you end up losing the conference championship. Well, I mean, every single conference winner gets an automatic bid. So the Sun Belt is automatically going to get a bid to the NCAA tournament. Well, then at that point, you have a bunch of teams that didn't win it, right? You got your ACC, you got your, Big Ten, runners-up, stuff like that. So you have all those schools. That's why this, playing all these D1 teams, mm-hmm. I'm not going to go out on a branch and say that this is an NCAA tournament qualifying team just yet.
Yeah.
I think that they have a really good shot at winning the Sun Belt tournament. I think that, they're coming in really hot. If they can continue with this, then they're set. Because I think this team is world beaters. They can beat pretty much anybody.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I feel like getting to the tournament, Riley, I think you can agree with me, getting to the tournament is, our Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Even if you get there, you have everybody, the entire community, the school, potentially the entire state will be, riding very high on Texas State women's basketball. So I like this preseason schedule that they have set up.
Mm-hmm. Or their pre-conference schedule, you mean?
Yeah, well, okay, pre-conference schedule.
Yeah.
Like, again, I say, my season starts halfway through Sun Belt Conference play.
All right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. And Olivia's making some great points. You don't want to get too high too early because we saw last year how high we got with the women's team and how it kind of bottomed out towards the very end of it. But right now, you just got to take it a game at a time, which is what this team is doing. They're not getting too far ahead of themselves because they know what it's like to start to get a reputation. And we saw how the Bobcats struggled playing as a team to watch out for towards the end of last season because now every team knew what to expect and knew that this team was capable of beating them, and they went at them harder. So now for the Bobcats to just keep a clear head, I believe this 11-day break that they have now is really going to help them. I don't think it's going to hurt them because, like I said, they're gym rats. They're going to keep working.
Yeah, and it's not the worst because it's 12 days off. You come back, play Sam Houston State. Then you get 3 days, and you go to the 30th Annual Hatter Classic in Florida, and you play mm-hmm. those two games. Then, with that last game being on December 21st, then you don't come back until December 29th, and that's when you start conference. So you get a week to prepare for Appalachian State a little bit after Christmas. I think that's about right. I don't think that's rust territory. These are players and students still, so they want to enjoy their Christmas, give
of
them a
course.
Few days for that.
Yeah.
But, they'll be itching to get back at it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's reflected in the way Tasha, even after a bad game, just goes out and keeps working on a shot. That's the attitude of this team and the conditioning for this team that allows them to run so well. has really benefited them in the way they play the game at a much higher tempo.
We're pushing up on the 30-minute break. We're going to jump into McMurray and the Texas State men's team that plays tonight. I know Riley has some pretty hot opinions on that, but before we go, Olivia, with the weather.
All right, guys. We've got a low of 39 and a high of 43. It's currently raining outside and it's freezing. So stay wet and... No, stay dry and warm. Stay dry and warm.
You're listening to KTSW 89.9.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. You may feel safe right now listening to this, but at night, on campus, it's a different story. It's potentially dangerous. That's why you use Bobcat Bobbies. The University Police Department offers transportation services to and from any point on campus from dusk to 1 a.m., 7 days a week. If you ever need this service, pick up the phone and call 245-SAFE. That's 245-7233 to reach Bobcat Bobbies and get your uniformed escort across campus. Bobcat Bobbies are there for your protection. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
You know it would be cool if your business was mentioned on the radio several times a day.
Well, you could have a slot here on KTSW just like the one I am doing right now. Share your community that your business supports higher education and a family-friendly listening environment.
Inform our audience that you are a supporter of independent music and the art of college radio while informing them about your business.
Let your customers know where you're located and what you offer the community.
For more information on getting your business mentioned on KTSW 89.9, visit ktsw.net and look under the Sponsors tab.
Welcome back. You're listening to KTSW 89.9. We are jumping into the Texas State men's basketball team, a team that, you know, has been getting a whole lot of criticism as of late. We had a couple players, you know, saying, like, ride, if you don't ride with us in December or November, don't ride with us, you know, in May. Riley, let's talk about this team. 4-4, really bad loss to HBU.
Terrible.
Terrible loss to HBU. Showed a lot of cracks in the system, which I think, you know, is probably good. You want to get these cracks out now, kind of figure out where the foundation is right now before you get too late into the season. Kind of give us an idea. What were your expectations from HBU going into this McMurray game?
I mean, I honestly expect them to win. I didn't expect them to have what is categorized to me as, and to a lot of people, as their worst shooting performance of the season thus far. When you go 18 for 59, you're not going to have a fun time. I don't care how great your defense is. You're probably not going to win that game. And the amazing part of it is everything else that they were doing outside of threes and field goals, their free throw shooting was pretty good. But the only problem of it being...
There you go, silver lining.
Yeah, silver lining, which usually the other seasons it's the other way around, where they're shooting pretty well in every other game thus far, but their free throw shooting, we've seen how bad it can hurt them, in the worst case being against UTSA, giving up a 9-point lead with 70 seconds left. Still a little miffed about that, but what else can I say other than this team is, it's the same situation as last year. They're young, they're trying to figure each other out. Of course, they don't have the same senior level experience they did at the in the starting lineup, because now you have Kaven, who is... I checked his stats over at Rheinstar in Germany. He's doing really well. He's leading his team in scoring, so good for him. And then you have O.J. Black, who is trying to get into grad school. That way he can become a GA under Coach Casper, which I think is really going to benefit it because the guards right now are really having a tough time, specifically Marlon Davis. Isaiah Gurley still nursing an injury.
Marlon Davis is Olivia Cheney's favorite player on this team.
Favorite, yes.
Favorite to look at.
No.
I mean from the game standpoint, not...
No, not even from the game standpoint.
Olivia is Marlon's biggest critic.
I just expect a little bit more out of him. I mean, I know you mentioned off-air that he wasn't initially supposed to be the starting
point
guard.
No, it was supposed to be Isaiah, but he's, again, nursing that groin injury.
Yeah, but, I mean, I just feel, even though he wasn't supposed to be the starting point guard, being put in that starting position, he should just be producing a bit more. I'm just wanting a bit more.
Offensively?
Him. Yes, offensively, definitely.
Because other than the HBU game before that, his assist totals were starting to get up there to where I would want them to be like with what O.J. Black was doing last year. And again, I'm going to give, I know you're his biggest critic, but I'll give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. He's only a sophomore. He's still got plenty of time to learn. Because again, O.J. Black came on as a sophomore transfer when he started here at Texas State, and it took him 2 years to really finally get the reins to go out and do what he did best, which really reflected in his ability to play defense his senior year, being Coach Casper's pick as a Defensive Player of the Year candidate in the Sun Belt. And from a leader standpoint, OJ was one of the best leaders that Coach Casper said he ever had as a coach. And when you're spanning 40 years, that's a pretty high praise. So you can't necessarily replace that. And Marlon, no offense, it's not that same DNA, I think, from what made OJ such a great leader. I think Marlon has to learn more about how to be a great leader than OJ ever had to. And I think that's really reflected in the way the guards have played thus far. They're still trying to figure out who's going to be that guy to step up. And I know Davis, because of circumstances and injuries, is getting the benefit of the doubt because he's the one with the experience. He's been here a year.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's just not reflecting well thus far. And, again, it was the same situation last year. They were young, they were inconsistent, they were still trying to figure themselves out. So I still think it's really not the time to be in panic mode. It's the time, though, to keep looking at them and see where we're trying to figure out where they're going.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We just touched on roles and, you know, players knowing their roles, having their roles. I feel like this Texas A&M men's team doesn't have their roles really sorted out yet and who's doing what.
The only certainty is Emmanuel King's the guy to lead them down the post, and Nigel's going to be the guy getting the most shots up because that's...
Exactly, because we don't know what to expect from Tyler Blunt 9 and 9 out. We don't know what we're getting from Marlon Davis. One game we have Alex Peacock get 21-9-9. Then on that game Saturday, he scores, what, like eight, I think 8 points? I'm pretty sure he scored 8 points in that game. So
I'll double check.
So, yeah, he scored 1 point, 4 rebounds, 4 fouls.
The biggest thing I got from Riley's monologue right there was Danny Casper coaching for 40 years. So now I'm kind of thinking, like, how old is Danny Casper?
63.
Wow, okay. I'm glad that you knew that off the top of your head. Nigel Pearson is the only Texas State player right now that is averaging double figures at 15 points a game. He's also the leading rebounder for this team.
That's an issue.
7 rebounds per game. Both Tyler Blunt and Emmanuel King are kind of knocking on that double-digit points per game, 9.4 and 9 points a game. I like where we're getting from Emmanuel King. You want him to get more rebounds. That's kind of been, you know, the knock on Emmanuel King ever since Amani Gant graduated about 2 years ago. The biggest knock on Emmanuel King has been, you're not Amani Gant. You know, you're not grabbing. Well, you know, a lot of fans expected him to be that kind of dude that fills the role, kind of takes over, runs the low post, figures out how to grab the rebounds, crash the glass. But that's not really what this Texas State team has been doing.
No, they're still trying to find that. And sorry, Brendan, you were about to put your mouth up to the mic. Do you have something to say?
I can lie, I really didn't. That's just a natural reaction after Andrew starts talking. I started to correlate a thought.
You have to get closer.
Yeah,
you need to hear this.
Try to argue with me.
Yeah. Of which, yeah, you look at Nigel, the biggest thing I'm still concerned about is the fact that he's averaging 15 points by shooting 39%.
Okay, but that can be fixed.
Yeah, it can, and definitely it's early. He's got plenty of time to get that stat up, and which Tyler Blunt, Coach Casper said he expected him to be like a Bobby Conley was last year, providing some decent backup scoring, and thus far I'd say Tyler Blunt is fulfilling his end of the assignment, shooting 46%, 9 points. He's the best 3-point shooter.
Tyler Blunt, to me, is an interesting case,
because
he had that UTSA game where UTSA didn't play very good defense on him. The game kind of came down to free throw shooting.
And he missed those last two.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, we talk about this off air a lot, Riley, because you and I, again, cut from the same cloth. What have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the last thing I kind of had ingrained in my mind. I knew he had a good game, but I'm never going to forget those free throws that he missed. Right?
And you shouldn't.
Exactly. So Tyler Blunt is kind of being that Bobby Conley role. I personally think he's doing a better job than Bobby Conley was.
Me too.
At that kind of six-man role. Because Bobby Conley last year, if he was in the starting lineup, kind of felt awkward. Slowed the gears down. There's times during the beginning of the season, a little bit in conference play, where if Bobby came off the bench and was with that starting team, it just didn't mesh correctly.
Yeah.
Coming into the second string, he kind of felt like he was, you know, too explosive to be with the second string guys. So he kind of, he was an in-betweener. I didn't really, you know, it just felt awkward to watch him play in that offense. Blunt, on the other hand, is doing a better job to me, meshing with the offense, kind of moving the ball, keeping the scoring up. I like where this is going. I will say this, however, 9.4 points, you take away that 22-point game against UTSA, all of a sudden that drops down to right around 8, almost 7 points per game. So he had that really big night. And that's kind of, you know, helping boost his numbers a lot.
Really, if they can get him into the swing of things, if Tyler Blunt most nights has a great game, Texas State is really going to benefit. And other than the UTSA game, when he goes for over 10, which he did against University of Arkansas Pine Bluff with 16 on 6 of 9, then against the University of Pacific, which that game was a shootout, 85-78, and we ended up on the winning side of that score. That gives me hope, because that's how good the offense can be, especially when Tyler Blunt is at his best, because in that game he had 12 points, and he's efficient. He goes 4 of 7 in these games.
All right, let's jump into this McMurray game, because I know you have a lot of hot takes on this, Riley, so let's jump into it. McMurray, NCAA Division III school, so
They should win this game. Texas State should win this game by a handle margin.
See, right off the bat, Riley's coming out swinging. So the all-time record against the Warhawks, you're going to like this number too, Riley.
Yay.
38-8, the Bobcats lead that series. So there's really, again, you say there's no reason for the Bobcats to kind of, you know, lose this game. Also, the last time these two teams faced each other, Bobcats ended up winning 112-70, had a 41-8 run over the final 11 minutes of that game. So again, you're checking all the boxes for a Riley Chestnut, you know, lock for this game. Now, tell me why this isn't going to be an easy win for the Bobcats.
Wow.
I got that. I got that one.
Oh, yeah. Let Brendan go first. I got to catch up now.
I was doing a little prep. I'll be calling this game tonight, so I have to prep for it.
Found
a nice little player in McMurray. LaRandall Scroggins.
LaRandall Scroggins.
He's a senior forward. He's a leading scorer for that team. He's averaging about six. He's about 6'5 guard, 6'6 area.
He's real thin, though, isn't he? Like 205, 206?
Somewhere around there.
Most of this line. I mean, one of their starting guards is 5'6". He's a starting guard.
Yeah, he's 6'5", 200 pounds from Hebron High School.
Mm.
But he's averaging 16-10 at that being 6'5". So he's kind of an interesting tweener player because he's listed as a forward. He has the size and body type of a guard. That's more just a smaller school. You have your things shaped differently. But he does it all. He doesn't have to shoot either. He's only attempted 3 3-pointers on the year, 1 of 3. So he's averaging 16 points a game by getting to the basket, scoring inside. And that's something Texas State saw trouble with against Houston Baptist when they went against 6'10 center Josh Ibarra, who had a monster game.
Monster game.
He was a guy that I was looking out for.
Yeah, me too. 14 points, 17 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks. And I was throwing that at Andrew. I'm like, hey, that's kind of Texas State's weakness this year, a big guy down low in the middle. They don't have people necessarily measure up to a 6'10 player like that. I know Scroggins just 6'5", but he plays bigger than his size. He has a lot of energy. He's active. He's everywhere. They're going to have to watch out for him.
It takes a team effort, and if the big guy's getting foul trouble, Texas State really starts to hurt their game.
And exactly, and this is why I posed that question. Why is this not going to be an easy win for the Bobcats? Right now, Riley, I'm looking at the schedule. Every game from here on out, I'm not going to go in with the mindset, oh, this should be an easy win. You have to come in with the devil's advocate mindset of how are the Bobcats going to find a way to either overcome the adversity that faces them in a team that's better than them, or how are they going to make sure they don't trip over their own feet. I see this game being, ready for it, the Brendan Snow trap game. A trap game for the Bobcats. You come off an HBU loss where you have guys like Riley Chestnut on the radio just saying that it was a terrible loss. So you come in to this game with, you know, all that pent-up emotion. I like this game. It's a home game for the Bobcats.
And it's only the second one out of three they have the whole month.
Yeah, exactly. So I like where this is going. The only thing that I'd be worried about is if role players try to do too much. If a guy like you talk about, you know, Marlon Davis, if Marlon Davis tries to do a little bit too much in this offense, then I could see where this game could get away from the Bobcats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same deal with Nigel Pearson. If he does too much, like he takes too many shots.
Which hasn't been something we've seen a whole lot from Nigel Pearson. It's not like this is like a struggling point for him. But, you know, I'm just worried that a couple players might try to do too much. I think that Danny Casper has done a really good job of keeping everybody kind of, you know, stay in your lane, keeping everybody in their lane. You know, the guys that are supposed to come out and score the ball do a very good job of that. The guys that are supposed to rebound the ball could do a little bit better job of that. But, you know, he does a pretty solid job of keeping everybody moving in the correct direction.
Yeah, but again, I'm just going to keep looking at Nigel because last game versus Houston Baptist, he took 19 shots, made 6 of them.
How many shots do you want Nigel Pearson to take a game?
I agree with Coach Casper's assessment. He wants him taking 12-13, and he wants him making an efficient amount of those shots.
See, to me, 12 or 13 shots for a guy like Nigel Pearson, who needs to be, you know, the motor of this team. Yeah, exactly. I don't think that's enough shots. 12 to 13 shots. If you're making 13 to 13, well, then hands down, you know, you're doing something right. You're averaging about 26 points a game at that point.
I know. I mean, it's just the way he's made up, though, because his best game by far thus far was a 9 for 14 performance. If he can get himself driving to the basket a little more, because his jump shot is still sometimes here and there a little iffy. Even his free throw shooting, it's planted. I don't know what it is about this team. We have some really good shooters, but for some reason, when it comes down to free throws, at times they can't make them. It was the same case with Kevin Gilder-Tilbury. His first season professionally, maybe the coaches worked with him. He's shooting 78% from the free throw line now. Last year, he shot like 69. So I don't know what it is that needs to be solved here, but
I'm trying to figure out how much more shots you want Nigel Pearson to take. He's taken 107 shots this year. The next closest I found, real quick, going through the list, Tyler Blunt's 57. So it's 50 more shots than the next closest player.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Brandon, I want the wealth to be spread a little more.
See, this is why we make good radio, Riley. We get in these arguments. All right, Brandon, sit down. So this is the thing.
He is sitting down.
So this is the thing, Brandon. Nigel Pearson's supposed to be the motor of this team. KGT was the motor last year. You're essentially taking a guy who wasn't... Nigel Pearson's not a natural scorer, and you're asking him to score the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He needs to take as many shots as he can to keep the offense going. Right? If we had a natural scorer on this roster, if we had, you know, a KGT 2.0 type of player, a guy that can just get to the rim arguably whenever he wants, then yeah, I'd say, fine, you know, dial back. But we don't have anybody like that at this point. I think that he needs to take, probably, Olivia, back me up on this, probably closer to 16 to 20 shots.
Oh, no.
I'm definitely saying that.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we're forgetting he's a sophomore. Dude, stop trying to compare him to KGT last year. KGT was a senior.
I mean, he's already doing more than Kaven ever did in his first 2 years.
All around. But he's not KGT.
No, scoring-wise, too. Kaven's first year, he averaged like 3 points.
Who else was on that roster, though? We don't have... See, KGT had Monty Gantt. He had guys that, you know...
And that was a terrible culture. Coach Casper talked about it. Guys talked back to him that year.
Okay. More point of the story is, KGT didn't have to be, you know, the scoring guy... His second year in the league, right? Or his second year on the team. Nigel Pearson is that guy. He needs to be that scoring guy. Otherwise, his team's not going to win a lot of games. Or, flip side of that, you ask him, don't score the ball. Just play strictly defense. Kind of like what they did last year. Last year, I felt the first half of the season was, all right, Nigel, we're going to put you out there. You know, KGT's kind of a tweener between the 3 and the 4. You're kind of a tweener between the 2 and the 3. You mismatch on a lot of guys when it comes to defense. Go out there and kind of help shut down the best player on the other team. We could do that type of game plan, which I'm enjoying. I'm fine with him being just a defensive specialist. But with that, you got to have a guy that scores. We just said Tyler Blunt, Emmanuel King. We don't have any consistent scorers. So right now, Nigel Pearson needs to be that guy.
And you saying right there, we don't have really any consistent scores except for Nigel Pearson on this team.
And even he's hot and cold.
Yeah, and then you mentioned in this game against McMurray tonight, if a role player or one of the starters were to do too much, it would hurt them, but I think that's impossible. I mean, seeing even like last game versus HBU and then game start the season, it showed that some of the starters weren't producing enough. So if they were to do too much, they would be at the level they should be.
Which you got to take into account, the starting lineup's kind of been through a loop for the fact that Nedge has been getting hurt a lot more than we want him to.
We're pushing up on the 50. Do you know anything about that? Do you know why his like body just is breaking down?
Well, if you want to take a look at the preseason when the first game against St. Edward's, he was sent flying over a man's back hard on the ground. That's going to take a little wind out of you. Then the second game, same scenario against whoever they played, Roger State, I think. Mm-hmm. And then in the first couple games, he got a little bumped in the knee, and of course we know Nedja isn't the most physically imposing big man. He's more of a stretcher in that sense, and right now he's kind of been put on the stretcher a little bit. Yeah, I like that one. But his knee, for the most part, is not wanting to be risked, and right now Coach Casper is just trying to play him safe until he's back to full health, because if Nedja can play, I think he makes a real difference for what the Fords can do.
And I want to point out real quick, Nigel... His scoring, you know, its efficiency has been questionable and stuff. I know we're pushing for the break, but he's not assisting the ball as much either. Last year, he wasn't a big assist man, though, but we saw a couple games, you know, 5-6 assists.
He's capable.
He averaged a little over about two and a half per game last year. This year,
I think him and Emmanuel King play well together in the post.
This year, he has 7 total assists in the 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
Not even an assist per game.
Bobcat Radio is sponsored by the University Bookstore, located on the second floor of the LBJ Student Center. The University Bookstore provides support for Texas State students, programs, departments, events, and organizations. For more information, go to bookstore.txstate.edu at 245-2273. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
I don't feel so good. I think I'm coming down with something.
Better take yourself to the Texas State Student Health Center.
Are you kidding? I can't afford those crazy medical bills.
No worries. The Student Health Center provides quality medical care to Texas State students at an affordable price. You can even schedule your appointment on the same day.
But what if I don't have health insurance?
No insurance is needed to receive the Student Health Center services. For hours and to make an appointment, visit healthcenter.txstate.edu. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Hey, boys, I got the latest scoop here. The Counterspin Show I hear on KTSW. This is hard-hitting stuff, stuff that digs deeper than the mainstream media. They provide critical examinations of major news stories, and they're not afraid to expose things like corporate influence, attacks on free speech, biases, and inaccuracies in the news.
Ah, I can't put that on our radio station. That's not mainstream. It's too dangerous.
Fine. Tune in to Counterspin on Fridays at 7 a.m. on KTSW 89.9.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9. This is the last show of the semester, and so far I think have been one of the better ones, but we are doing the favorite, fan favorite, Midweek Spotlight.
Midweek Spotlight.
Riley, if you haven't listened or you haven't got to listen before, Midweek Spotlight is we pick a player from any sport, anywhere.
In the middle of the week.
Anytime, yeah, in the middle of the week. Mm. Kind of shakes things up a little bit. Olivia, as per tradition, we start with you.
I'm going to go ahead and send it to the NBA like I usually do. And I'm going to give this one to Dwight Howard this week. I think he's definitely improved from the past, I would say, 4 years when he's with LA and then with Houston. He's with the Charlotte Hornets right now. And I'm seeing like some Orlando Magic days from when Dwight Howard was, you know, fresh in the league and he's moving, so I like him. I like what I'm seeing from him right now.
Mm. Good stuff. All right, Riley, we'll jump to you, Midweek Spotlight.
Mm. Well, this is a summation of the whole season, because as we know, for the Spurs, they've been playing without Kawhi Leonard, but who stepped up in his place? The guy that people were so quick to bash after having to go up against the best defense by himself last year in the conference finals, LaMarcus Aldridge. I knew you were a good player, and I still believe you are, and I'm so glad that you're proving it by having, I think, a low-key MVP caliber season. No lie.
Really?
I think so, for the way he stepped up and led the Spurs without the best two-way player in the game for me, and I think in a lot of other people's eyes.
That's strong. That's a strong compliment.
I like him. I think I like him a lot. I saw a recent poll done, I think, by the Washington Journal, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, did a poll. They did a straw poll of who was going to be the MVP. LaMarcus got a couple third-place votes. So if
darn right he should.
If he can continue playing at this level.
When Kawhi comes back?
I don't know if those two can coexist in the same atmosphere.
I think if Kawhi pulls back a little bit on his scoring, like he goes back to what he was doing maybe in 2016-17 when they were kind of sharing a little bit more, because towards the end of LaMarcus' first season in San Antonio, he was averaging like 21 points per game from February on. And then, of course, those two games versus Oklahoma City, he dropped like 41 and 39. I think that's what he can do best, and I think if Kawhi is an averaging 25 points per night and kind of going Kobe style, I think it could really benefit.
Brendan?
I'll go ahead and stick with the NBA. Seems like a fun trend.
Mm.
I'm getting ready to go to bed last night. I get a notification. What's happening? Bradley Beal of the Washington Wizards drops 51 points last night. Shooting 21 of 27 from the field, 5 of 12 on threes. The big thing about that, Washington's without John Wall. And if looking at this roster without John Wall's name on there does not look good at all, looking at some of these names. So someone has to step up. Bradley Beal, he's not going to drop 50 every game, but Bradley Beal has always been he's always been a fun player to watch because you can see he can get really hot and score crazy. I remember last year in the playoffs against the Celtics, he got hot in one of those games. Yeah, see Andrew's shaking his head. He remembers. He had that ability. He's fun to watch. Nice to see him, you know, be one of just three players to score 50 points in the season this year, along with James Harden and LeBron James. Pretty good company.
Tearing it up, worse than Draymond Green's jersey, I'd say.
That's a pretty good one, Riley.
Thank you.
You've been coming out pretty quick.
Thank you.
I was going to say, Brooke Holly was going to be mine, having the game of her life. I don't know if she'll be able to reach that level again this season, but if that is the only time that she comes out and plays that well, then I'm okay with it. I'm fine with
UTSA
with that game being against the Roadrunners. All right, Riley, the other thing that this show has a tradition of doing, because nobody else will do it, is talking about the AFC playoff picture.
What?
Yes.
In the world.
The AFC playoff picture. You notice that these other two shows, the Monday show and the Friday show, they both have some Houston homers. But once the Texans once the Texans fell out of favor, the playoff picture, you know, closed up, all of a sudden they stopped talking about the AFC. This show will not stop talking about the AFC playoff picture. We have some very good teams. The New England Patriots.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are coming up.
Hear me on my take. I said this on the podcast. Check it out. I said the Los Angeles Chargers are going to win the AFC West.
That's not a bad take right now.
They're really starting to come together.
The Chiefs falling apart. Raiders are untrusty. No. Denver, I don't even know if they still like NFL considered or what.
You ever
what?
Hear of an anti-hero, Riley?
Yes.
We coined a new phrase for Brandon Snow. Anti-fan.
Anti-fan.
He's an anti-fan of, one, Derek Carr.
Huh.
Not completely anti. I like Derek Carr coming out, but then people overhyped him too much after the Raiders' success last year. I tried to tell him, pump the brakes a little bit. Now he's having a bad year this year. I'm not seeing the Raiders fans talking much.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, a lot of them disappeared.
Well, pretty soon, that team's going to be disappearing from Oakland, too. So you're going to have to bring that in mind. Maybe he's focused on the future in Las Vegas, getting some nice slot machine stuff in.
Maybe. All right, Brandon, give us the AFC playoff picture this week.
So, yeah, sitting in the one seed at 10-2, Pittsburgh, 2 seed, 10-2, New England. Mm. They'd be looking at first-round buys. Leading the AFC South in the third seed, the 8-4 Tennessee Titans.
They'll fall out.
I don't know when they got the 8-4, when that happened.
When Deshaun Watson went down after they got killed by, like, 57-13?
Something like that, right. In the 4 seed right now, AFC West leaders, Kansas City at 6-6. But, like I said, the Chargers and Raiders both also 6-6, so they're right there. Andrew? Are you waiting for the next one?
The next one.
The first wild card spot, 8-4, so tied with the AFC South leader in the first wild card spot. The Blake Bortle-led Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are a playoff contender. This is really, Riley, this is real life that we're living.
Really? I didn't think it was anything else.
And then my other big sleep in the AFC, I have San Diego coming back to win division. This team's going to snag
San
a wild
Diego.
Card. Ah, dang it, I knew it was going to happen. I pulled a Tony Romo. Los Angeles Chargers are going to come back, win the division, and this team's going to stay in a wild card, the Baltimore Ravens. And if I'm another team in the AFC, I don't want to play Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs.
Can you imagine playing not only the Baltimore Ravens, but say Blake Bortles ends up coming into town? I said this before, AFC Championship game, Tom Brady, Blake Bortles, collision course. It's going to be great. Okay, we're pushing up on the end of the show, the last Bobcat Radio of the semester. I want to give everybody one last chance for a holiday prediction, something that's going to happen over this little bit of holiday that we have before coming back for the spring semester. Olivia, we'll start with you.
Holiday prediction for Texas State sports or just in general?
What you can do in general.
I'm going to go with the NBA Christmas Day games. I think Warriors are playing the Cavs, right?
Yeah, maybe. Somewhat. Probably.
I think they are. Steph Curry is currently out right now.
Roll that ankle.
I'm going to give that game to the Cavs.
Interesting, Riley.
Well, if I wanted to go with it, my fair prediction is right now the Rangers are in the running for that two-way Japanese star, Shohei Ohtani. I really think they have a good chance because it wasn't a couple years ago they landed the hottest pitcher out of Japan in Yu Darvish. I really think they have a better chance to get Ohtani than most people would think. So my prediction is they're going to at least be among the final candidates, if not the team to take him.
If this guy's a bust, you're never going to hear the end of it, Brendan. Continue.
For my big prediction, we're going to see a national championship game consist of Clemson and OU.
You broke me to it. I was going to guess that as well. I was going to say that was going to be a really good game. Here's my bold prediction. The SEC ends up with a losing record in their bowl games.
Bowls.
Seems. I feel like that's a pretty good prediction.
Not a bad prediction. Thank you guys so much for listening to Bobcat Radio every single Wednesday this semester, Mondays and Fridays next semester at 11 to noon. And, of course, the Riding the Pine podcast is now up on the KTSW blog and the Texas State student media page. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Hi, this is Carrie from the Go to Beds. And when I'm not doing extreme sports, I listen to KTSW.
San Marcos.